Another project which where I think lots was going wrong was, like in India, a lot of major ideas that have come up in big programs, like the self-help groups concept, which now is mainstream, government has lots of programs, the banking sector supports it. But this is something that came from the NGO world, largely. There were some NGOs, we tried it, it's a very indigenous model. Yes, the original idea was taken from Bangladesh, but unlike a sort of credit-driven one, this was a more an empowerment, solidarity group-led approach. But then at this one point, the government sort of took over the idea and said, we will promote it. But what happens is when the state decides that we will implement something which is an extremely facilitation-oriented, process-driven approach, the government's systems and structures are not, that's not their strength. They don't reward intensive process-oriented approach. You know, the measurement of performance is based on largely numbers game. And so what happened? I mean, there were examples of strictures coming from, and I won't name it, but there was a project I was part of in the state of Madhya Pradesh. And it was again an World Bank aided project where the idea was through the support of NGOs, you're going to go and, you know, set up more self-help groups of women. And the secretary, the principal secretary of the concerned department felt, you know, you're just doing 3,000 self-help groups in five years. That's so small. And the person said that, you know, here I have got so many, you know, Anganwadis, the ICDS program you might have heard of. And the supervisors of Anganwadis, I think there were more than 3,000 supervisors of Anganwadis. And over every 15 Anganwadis, there is one supervisor. So if you just start multiplying and doing the maths, you're talking of a huge number. And they just set one order, every supervisor in the state will go and set up one self-help group. And they said, so in one go, you will have 3,000 self-help groups. Next year, this person is going to train the Anganwadi worker. So under one supervisor, you have roughly 15 Anganwadi workers. So each of these 15 people will set up one self-help group. And lo and behold, you have, you know, 100,000 self-help groups. I mean, we saw a disaster coming. I said, this is unbelievable. How do we communicate to these people that this is not the way this business runs? You can't self-help set up a group just by a government order. They said, no, nothing doing. You will have one day orientation of all the supervisors who will be trained in how to do self-help groups in one day, and they will go and make it happen. Well, I mean, the climate was so spoilt, and this is just one instance. I think the forest department came up someday and said, all our, you know, field staff will also create self-help groups. So this guy, this beat guard who up till now goes with a lathi to his village and, you know, is basically uses fear and coercion with the communities, is now going to sit with women to help create self-help group. What a brilliant idea. And what would happen? I mean, many, because there was an order saying you have to do it by such and such date, the poor guy will just create a list of names from a village. Sometimes they would even put 10 rupees in the name of one every person from their own pocket, make a 10-person or a, you know, 11-person group, 110 rupees, open a bank account and declare that a group has been made. The people don't even know that something has happened in their name. So you have this mechanism which is, you know, just playing a numbers game. These are intensive relational processes where you have to build trust with communities. They need to know you. You need to know them, become an insider. So where is the space to do all this in government? Difficult. I mean, it has been tried and quite successfully though. But you have to create, there was this district poverty initiatives project in Madhya Pradesh where what they did is, and this is government, by the way, but they allowed space from experts from outside to come in and support it. And what they did is, A, they created an independent society, so shielded it from the mainstream line department functions. And they had a mechanism of getting people on board from government on a principle of merit. So there was a lot of effort done to sort of sell the idea that those who are going to come in, you know, they really deserve something more. So people, when they came in, they felt a sense of pride because they came through a rigorous process of selection, etc. And once they came in, they were taken through intensive training and handholding. And so you created in within that society an incentive structure, a management structure that was more enabling, that was less hierarchical, more flatter, which empowered these government functionaries. They were created into project facilitation teams. And a lot of decision-making power was decentralized. So these people experienced something so wonderful, and many of them would say, I don't know what I'm going to do going back to my line department. How will I function? So it's possible. I mean, it's the same human beings. It's about, so I think it's about creating those institutional structures with the kind of norms, the culture, the values, the incentive structures, which will foster that kind of, you know, process-driven facilitation approach. So it's possible, I mean.